Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's October the 25th. We are in Parshas Balak, and we're on page 858. We're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. And before we begin the next set of Pesukim, now that we've really been introduced to Bilam, so let us review a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which you are likely familiar with, but I'll read it to you. The Mishnah tells us this is in the towards the end of the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, "Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu," anybody who has these three things, "humi tamidav shel Avraham Avinu," and he is from the students of Avraham Avinu. "Ushlosha dvarim acherim," if he has three other things, which will be the opposite of the first three, "humi tamidav shel Bilam harasha," then he is of the students of Bilam, the evil Bilam. So the Mishnah is comparing Avraham and Bilam. I don't know that we would have necessarily drawn that comparison. I think that more readily we would have compared Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu, since Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu are the ones who have the clearest nevuah. As we'll talk about when we talk about the prophecy of Bilam, we'll discuss the comparison to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Mishnah, in terms of a person's character, is comparing Bilam to Avraham Avinu. The Mishnah says, what are the three things? Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova means that a person is... I guess the right word is generous. Ruach Nemucha. Ruach Nemucha means humble. And Nefesh Shefala. Nefesh Shefala means a lowly Nefesh. That means, it's hard to think of the way to say this without just mentioning the negative. Nefesh Shefala means a person who is not focused on their own desires. That they're not desirous. That's what it means. So if a person is generous, meaning not stingy, humble, not arrogant, and that does not, is not focused on their desires, then Tamidav Shal Avraham Avinu, that person is from the students of Avraham Avinu. Ayin Ra'ah, a person is jealous. Ruach Gevoa is, Ruach Gevoa means arrogant. Nefesh Rechava and desirous. Then Tamidav Shel Bilam Harasha, he's from the students of Bilam Harasha. The truth is, Ayin Tova doesn't really mean generous. It really means the opposite of jealous. Ayin Ra is jealous. Ayin Tova means they're happy with someone else's success. That's really what it means. So the students of Avraham Avinu are happy with other people's success, are humble, and do not run after their desires. Students of Bilam are the opposite. They are jealous of other people's success, are arrogant, and run after their desires. In other words, as a different Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says there are three things that take a person out of this world. The Mishnah says, Hakina, jealousy, Vehataiva, desire, Vehakavod, and seeking honor. Motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam, take a person out of this world. Bilam, as we will see, he excelled at all three of these negative traits. He was jealous, he was desirous, and he was arrogant. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, is just the opposite of those three things. The Mishnah concludes, Ma bein Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu leTalmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. What's the difference between the students of Avraham and the students of Bilam? Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu ochlin ba'olam hazeh. The students of Avraham Avinu, they eat in this world, v'nochalin ha'olam haba, and they inherit the next world. Shenemar, as the verse says, lahanchel ohava yesh v'otzroseyam amalei, to give to those who love me, I have. Hashem says, I have plenty to give, and their storehouses I will fill. Aval talmidav shel Bilam harasha, but the students of Bilam, Yarshim Gehenim, their portion is Gehenim. The Yardim Leber Shachas, they go down to a pit of destruction. Shneimer, as the verse says, Ve'ata Elokim, and you Hashem, Toridim Leber Shachas, you'll bring them down to a pit of destruction. Anshe Damim Umirma, men of blood and deceit, Lo Yechetzu Yemehem, they will not even live to half their lives, Vani Eftach Bach, and I will trust in you. So, as we are going to be examining Bilam, we're going to point out where Bilam shows his connection to these three negative traits: jealousy, desire, and arrogance. Avraham Avinu, of course, is not being discussed over here in Parshas Balak, but we know that Avraham Avinu was, first of all, very happy with other people's success. In fact, he did all he could to help others succeed. He was very kind. He davened for Sodom. After all, Avraham Avinu is interested in the success of others. You know, Avraham Avinu was humble. He says to Hashem, I don't really have any right to be asking you for things. V'anochi afar va'efer. I'm dust, I'm ashes, I don't have any expectations or entitlements. We know Avraham Avinu was humble, he was not arrogant. And then we also know that Avraham Avinu was not desirous. That his, really, it means, because he was so focused on other people, when a person is focused on other people, they're not focused on themselves. Avraham Avinu was looking for the good of the other, and therefore he was not someone who was a desirous person. But Bilam, he was jealous, he was arrogant, he was desirous. So we'll see as we move along over here, and the way that Chazal line up Bilam with Avraham Avinu, that they are polar opposites in the way they behave. So the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Vayakam Bilam Baboker. So Bilam had just been told by Hashem that he may not go with the officers that had come from the agents who had come from Moab. Vayakam Bilam Baboker. Bilam got up early and got up in the morning. Vayomer El Sare Valak. He said to the officers of Balak, Luchu El Artzachem, go to your land. Ki me'ein Hashem L'siti Lahaloch Imachem. Because Hashem has declined to allow me to go with you. Now, Chazal tell us, Bilam added a word over here. He could have said, Me'ein Hashem has declined, L'siti, to allow me, Lahaloch, to go. Because that's really what happened. Hashem told Bilam, you can't go. But he says, Lahaloch, Imachem. He won't let me go with you. Bilam is implying Hashem, he's standing up for my kavod. You simply aren't important enough for me to take the trip with you. Lowly people like you I can't go with. Bilam was not willing to admit that Hashem was forbidding him to go at all. And therefore we see here his arrogance, that he does not want to admit that he simply can't defy Hashem. He must do as he says. So therefore, as we'll see, Balak is going to respond by sending higher ranking people. Vayakumu Sare Moab, so the officers of Moab got up, Vayavou El Balak, they came to Balak, Vayomru, and they said, Me'ein Bilam Haloch Imanu. Bilam refuses to go with us. They didn't say, Hashem won't let Bilam go with us. They said, Bilam refuses to go with us. Either they saw through Bilam, and they understood that Bilam just didn't want to go with people like them, or they just didn't want to mention Hashem. Either way, Balak then responds with, Vayosef od Balak, Balak continued, Shaloach Sarim to send officers, Rabim v'nichbadim me'ele, more and higher ranking than the originals. He sent more officers and higher ranking officers. Vayavohu el Bilam, they came to Bilam. Vayomru, they said to him, Koamar Balak ben Sipor, so says Balak ben Sipor, Al nas imana mehaloch Eloi, do not hold back from coming to me. Ki chabeira chabet chamaod, I'll give you much honor. I see you like honor. I'll give you a lot of that. V'chol asher tomar Eloi, I say, whatever you tell me I will to do, I will do. Ulechana kavali, and go now and curse for me Esam as at this nation. Vayan Bilam, Vayomer Bilam answered and he said, Elavde Balak to these servants of Balak. Imi temli Balak meloveso kesef vizahav. Even if Balak could give me his entire household filled with silver and gold. Lo chala avores pi Hashem elokai, I am unable to transgress the words of Hashem my God. Lasos ketana o gidala, to do anything small or big. Who said anything about a house full of gold and silver? Well, see, this phrase is repeated in Parshas Balak several times. Who mentioned anything about a house full of gold and silver? The answer is nobody. Bilam. Bilam just brought this up for the first time. Bilam here tips his hand. He wants a house full of gold and silver. This is where you see the first indication of Bilam's desire. He wants more and more and more. He's not satisfied. He can't pay him enough. He wants more. That's what Bilam wants. Ve'atah, now, Shavu navazeh gamatem halayla. Stay here, also you, this night. Ve'eda mayosef Hashem daberi mi, and I will know what Hashem continues to say to me. So, give me another night. I'll go talk to Hashem, and I'll get back to you. Vayavo Elokim el Bilam Laila, Hashem came to Bilam at night, Vayomelo, and said to him, Im likro lecha ba'u ha'anashim, if the men have come to call for you, kum lechitam, get up and go with them. Va'aches hadavor ha'shadavar elecha, oso sa'aseh. However, that which I speak to you, you will have to do. So, is Hashem waffling? Before Hashem said, can't go. Don't go with them. Now, he says, you can go. So which one is it?
I think that at first Hashem was trying to protect him, and now he's giving him enough for it to hang himself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Bilam is pushing the envelope, and Hashem is saying, all right, listen, you want to go? Go. Okay. Now we will see later that what you're saying is true. And then we will see that actually leads to the next step as well. But over here, there is a little more to it, because the phrase is im likro lecha. If it is to call to you that they have come. So Rashi tells us that the intention here is im hakriya shelcha. If the calling is for you, v'savor atalitol aleha sachar, and you think you'll get some money out of this, then, fine. If your intention is you want to go because it's a good way to make some good money, fine. If you think you can play this and get some money out of it, fine. Go ahead. But I'm warning you, you're going to have to do what I say. So if you think you can get money out of this, because maybe you can, maybe you can strike a deal that you get paid whether you're successful or not. Maybe you'll strike a deal that you'll admit to them that you're really not able to make your own decisions, and it's all up to what I say, and maybe they'll be willing to pay you, irrespective of whether I tell you to curse or not to curse. Right? It could be. Could be that, you know, you'll be able to strike a deal, you get paid no matter what. So, you know, if you're only going to get paid for success, well, then you shouldn't go, because you're going to have to do what I say. But if you think you can get some money out of this, you can arrange the deal in a way that you make money. All right, fine. Go ahead.
Well, first time when you said if they came to you, meaning like the first time Hashem thought they might have come for him to change on his feelings towards the Israel, and now they're not realizing that Hashem directs him, but they think that it's really just Bilam who has this power. So I think that that's a shift too. Like they're saying, he's saying, you think that they came for you and that the power is yours? Okay, go. Let's see how much power.
Okay. So he does tell him, you're going to have to do what I say. Now, in the end, Bilam, as we've already pointed out, he hates the Jews even more than Balak does, and he's really doing this because he wants the curse, and that'll be borne out in the words as well. But at this point, what Hashem is doing is letting him go. Like you're saying, he's giving him the opportunity to fail. But the truth is that at this point, Bilam could work it out that he wins even if he loses. As we know, sometimes there are hazardous jobs where you get paid whether you're successful or not, because you're taking a risk. So maybe Bilam could have made that happen. So if you look at the next pasuk Chafal, verse 21, Vayakam Bilam ba'boker, vayachavosh es asono, vayelech im sarei Moav. And Bilam got up in the morning, and he saddled his own donkey, and he went with the officers of Moab. That phrase, im sarei Moab, that verb of im, implies that, I'm sorry, that's not a verb, but that word with implies that he did it, he was going along with them. Not just he happened to be on the same road as they were. Then you would say es sarei Moab. Im means that you're of same mind. You're thinking the same thing they are. Same intentions, same interest in what's happening over here. So even though Hashem warned him, you're going to have to do what I say, so you're not going to be able to do what they want you to do, but Bilam wanted to try anyway. Now, what is Bilam's end game? Doesn't he know that he's under the control of Hashem? He keeps saying, I'm going to have to do what Hashem says. He knows this. So what is he trying to pull off over here?
I don't think he's trying to. I think in the end he succeeds in getting a line on Hashem in his own way. But in the end, he sees a way to make the Jews fall.
It's true, but not...
He succeeds. He does try.
It's true, but he doesn't... He tries three times first. As we know, he's going to try three times to actually...
He tries first with the lips. When that doesn't work, he tries with the body.
Right, so I'm asking... I'm asking, what does he think when he's trying to curse? Hashem has told him, I'm not going to let you curse. So why does he go anyway and try to curse?
I think he goes so big that he can get around Hashem.
Okay.
Which he does.
Well, not in that way. The different way, right?
But you know what? You just keep trying.
Okay.
Is kind of a partner with Hashem. Hashem turns to Abraham and consults with him before he destroys the people of Sodom. Moshe is the most humble of men, meaning the transmission of Torah through Moshe is just great. And, you know, it's a very clear transmission of Torah. And also, Hashem wants him to stick up for the Jewish people, even if God is mad at them, right? So, but you can be a prophet and withhold things, or try to withhold things, or not be so good at the transmission. And
so,
this is an example. Hashem can say, look, I've given prophecy to the other nations. This is what they do with it.
So that's from Hashem's perspective.
Right.
But what is Bilam thinking?
Bilam thinks he's going to make this work for him.
Okay.
Didn't he curse another country before? He found the opportune time, that a time that Hashem was angry with that other nation, mm-hmm. and then he did that. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to do it here, and when that doesn't work, he decides to make it an opportune time by having the Jews sit
okay.
at the end.
Okay.
So I think timing has a lot
yes.
to do with this.
Okay, so Bilam's power to curse, as we will see, comes from that he knows something that most people don't know, which he's able to figure out when Hashem is, so to speak, kivyachol, angry. Now, Hashem doesn't have emotions like we have emotions, or anything that's human can't be Hashem, but Hashem does choose sometimes to act in a way that we would characterize as angry, and Bilam was able to figure out when those times were. And each day he was able to figure out when those times were. So he would therefore curse a nation at the moment when he knew that Hashem was prepared to act with anger. So even though Hashem told Bilam, I am not going to let you curse them, Bilam still thinks that Hashem can be, so to speak, made to do so when Hashem is angry. Now, the fundamental mistake over here is that Hashem, when we say Hashem is Echad, Hashem is one, that doesn't just mean there is no other God. That is what it means, that there is no other God, but it means more than that. Hashem is Echad, Hashem is one means that Hashem himself is a unified whole. There are no parts to Hashem. We have parts to us. We have a hand and a head, even on the head itself. We have an eye, we have an ear, we have a mouth. We have different parts of ourselves. That's true physically, and it's true emotionally. We have different parts within our brains, different parts within our emotions. Our intellect, our emotions, our imagination, we have different parts of us that are predominant at different times. Sometimes a person is very cerebral, sometimes they're very emotional, sometimes they're very realistic, and sometimes they're very flighty, right? Everybody, we all do this, different people, different times, different amounts, but people are people that you can almost say that we are, sometimes we're different people. Sometimes I'm an angry person. Sometimes I'm a sad person. Sometimes I'm a happy person. And you see different personas in the person. Hashem doesn't have that. There's no such thing. Hashem is one. There's no happy Hashem, angry Hashem, sad Hashem. There's no such thing. He just is. There are the ways that he chooses to reveal himself to us in this world, and the way that he chooses to run the world sometimes will reflect a human attribute of this or a human attribute of that. But it's not that Hashem is this or that. Hashem is not actually angry or sad or happy. There's no such thing for Hashem. Therefore, you can't say that, well, Hashem right now is calm and he's therefore looking at the Jews with a pleasant eye, but I'll get him when he's angry. Then he'll be willing to strike the Jews. When it means that Hashem gets angry, it doesn't mean Hashem gets angry. He doesn't actually get angry. It means that there's a certain point in the day where Hashem is is prepared to act towards this world with a midah that appears to us to be anger, but it is not. Contradictory to the way Hashem is when it's not that time. It's always one. So, however we're going to explain it, the Gemara does say that Hashem acts with anger at a certain moment of the day. We don't know how to figure it out, and Bilam did know how to figure it out. Whatever we're going to say that means, but it doesn't mean, or we can say what it does not mean, it does not mean that, oh, Hashem loses his temper, and now it's a different type of Hashem. There's no such thing. You can't say that about Hashem. It seems that Bilam felt that you can catch Hashem at a bad moment, like we do with people. And you can catch him at a good moment. Every child knows that that's what you're supposed to do with parents. If you want something, you figure out the right time to ask the question, right? But that's not the way it works with Hashem. But Bilam seems to feel that he can do that. Now, so Bilam is willing to go, even though Hashem has told him, you're not going to be able to do it. Because Bilam feels, oh, you know, I can manage this. I can manage Hashem. I can play Hashem. That's the way he's thinking. Now, as Mrs. Lewis pointed out, in the end, he is going to pull it off, but not in the way of cursing or blessing, but rather in the way of getting the Jews to sin. Because that's really the only way to pull it off. That's really all that matters in the end. But that is a secondary strategy. The original strategy of Bilam is to actually get Hashem to allow him to curse the Jewish people verbally. Even though Hashem said explicitly, I'm not going to do that. So that is what Bilam is going to do. Now, there is a precedent that Bilam is hanging his hat on, where he says, I know Hashem waffles. Because there's a famous story where Hashem waffled. And I'm going to make that happen again. So what famous story do we have? The hint is, based on the comparison of Bilam to Avraham Avinu, where Hashem seems to have waffled.
Well, I'm going to destroy the city then if there's 10, 15 men.
Okay, but he does destroy the city.
But he moves the number.
That's true. But where do we find? Where do we find where he actually seems to reverse what he's?
Hagar.
What do you mean?
Hagar was going to. Hagar and her child was going to die, and Hashem.
Okay, I don't know if he said they were going to die. He didn't say they were going to die. He made it hard for them.
It was okay. They were going to die.
Yeah, but Hashem didn't say they were going to die, right? But you say that better?
Akedah.
Okay, so Akedah Yitzchak, Hashem said to Abraham, uh-huh, slaughter your son.
But he didn't say that, did he? He said,
yeah, it's very nuanced, right?
Yeah, but
Nuanced, right. But he said, offer him as a sacrifice, and then an angel came and said, yeah, stop, don't do it. So Bilam, using that as his precedent, says, Hashem can change. You know, he has one approach, and he takes another approach. He can be fickle. So, yeah, he told me now don't curse them, but that can always change. Chazal tell us that here, Bilam, in Pasuk Chafal, verse 21 that we just read, Bilam got up in the morning, and he saddled his donkey. Okay, good. Bilam was a very respected and wealthy individual. He had plenty of servants. Yet, he saddled his own donkey. It's a little bit of a menial task. But he did it anyway. We don't saddle donkeys, so it's not the kind of thing that we're used to. But he did it, which is really should have been beneath his dignity. So Mrs. Kaiser just pointed out, like Avram Avinu. So let's hold a place here on 858. Let's turn back to when Avram did it. When did Avram do it? Okay, when he went for Akedas Yitzchak back in Parshas Vayera. which is coming up for us very soon. The end of Parashas Vayera, page 100. Page 100, after Hashem has commanded Avram to take Yitzchak to offer him as a burnt offering. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Vayashkem Avraham baboker. Avram got up early in the morning. Vayachavosh es chamoro, and he saddled his donkey. Now, aside from the fact that Avram is using a male donkey, while Bilam is using a female donkey, which will be significant later on. But at this point, what other significant difference do you see in the phrase with Avraham? Okay, Vayashkem. Right, he got up early in the morning with Bilam. Here on page 858, it says, Vayakam Bilam Baboker. Bilam got up in the morning. Does not say got up early in the morning. Rashi tells us here in Bilam on page 858, Rashi tells us that just as we find with Avraham, that with Avraham we say, Shaha'ava mikalkeles es hashura, the love makes a person behave in a manner that does not fit the acceptable ways of behavior. As when a person is overcome with love, then they will do things that they would not have necessarily done otherwise. Something might have been beneath their dignity, but out of love, they'll do it anyway. They're so lost in the way they are. So that's Avraham, that he saddled the donkey, even though Avraham also had plenty of servants who could have saddled the donkey for him. But Avraham was so excited about this mitzvah, so he did it himself. Here it says, for Bilam, shasina mikal kelas hashura. Hatred. Intense hatred, which is what Bilam had, also makes a person do things in a way that is not the acceptable way to do things. That Bilam, instead of having his servants saddle the donkey, he did it himself. However, I'm reading the Rashi further on in Parashas Balak on page 858, he did it himself. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said. He didn't actually say this to Bilam, but this is how we understand it. Rasha, kvar kidamcha Avraham avihem. Avraham, their father, already beat you to this. You're displaying intense hatred, and you're saddling the donkey yourself. Well, their father Avraham already did something with intense love, which offsets what you're doing. Because the pasuk says, "Vayashkim Avraham baboker." Avram got up early in the morning. Vayachavosh es chamaro, and he saddled his donkey. But the language is very clear in Rashi. Their father Avram already preceded you. He already demonstrated love that is at least as intense as the hatred that you're demonstrating. But the language of Rashi is their father preceded you. Now the simple meaning is he preceded you because he lived many years ago. The incident with Yitzchak is many years prior to this. But the truth is that he preceded you even within the act itself. Because you got up. He got up early. You weren't willing to get out of bed early. Yes, you had intense hatred. And because of your intense hatred, you saddled your own donkey, demonstrating how much hate you have. Their father got up early, before dawn. You didn't. Which brings out a very important point, which is Avraham Avinu is humble. Avraham Avinu is not desirous. Avraham Avinu is happy with other people's success. It's not about him. For Avraham Avinu, it's not about him. It's about everybody else. It's about Hashem. It's about the better of the world. That's what it is for Avraham Avinu. Therefore, if he's excited to do a mitzvah, he gets out of bed early. Because for Avraham Avinu, sleep is not for me. Sleep is to serve Hashem. So in this case, I am my strength is better served. I'm better serving Hashem in getting up early. But Bilam, it's all about me. It's all about my desires, my honor, and the jealousy I have for others. It's all about me. It revolves around me. When it revolves around me, then it's not so easy to get out of bed, because staying in bed is also about me. So I'm fighting me. Avraham Avinu, it's not about him. It's about Hashem. So he gets up early to do what he has to do. Bilam, even when he has intense hatred and he's embarking on a mission which he holds is significant, it's important, it's what I stand for, it's what I have to do, but he doesn't get up early. Getting up early he can't do, because getting up early means compromising me. I like to sleep, so therefore he does not get up early. So even though he has, it seems, his hatred for the Jews is similar to the level of love that Avraham had for Hashem, but still, he can't, that doesn't translate into getting up early. It only translates into saddling the donkey, which would be the same as Avraham Avinu. So we've seen so far Bilam's arrogance, that he's unwilling to admit that he can't go, and he has to say, I can't go with you, implying you got to send someone bigger, someone more important. We've seen Bilam's desire, and that he says, you know, I really need to have a house full of gold and silver. Where do we see Bilam's evil eye, that he is jealous? So we'll have it later on, but I want to introduce it now because it's going to be a while till we get there. What's the most famous words that Bilam says? One of the brachos of Bilam? Matovu alecha Yaakov. Matovu alecha Yaakov. So Chazal tell us, as I mentioned to you last week, that we learn from the curses of Bilam, from the blessings of Bilam, we learn what the curses would have been. The curses would have been the opposite of the blessings. As you go through each of the brachos and you extrapolate what the curse would have been by flipping it around. So he looked at the tents and he says, wow, your tents are so special, Yaakov. So what he wanted to say was, your tents are terrible. Your tents are disgusting. That's what he wanted to say. He wanted to be machnis and ayin hara. He wanted to put into the Jews an ayin hara. Now, what is an ayin hara? What is an ayin hara? I think many years ago we talked about this once before. Okay, what is an evil eye? What does that mean? Don't give someone an ayin hara. What is an ayin hara? An ayin hara is being jealous. That's what ayin hara is. Ayin hara is that when one person is made to be jealous of another person, it can cause something bad to happen to that person, to the person that he is jealous of. There's a halacha in the Gemara that you have two farmers, and the two farmers, their crop is growing, and one farmer has this beautiful bumper crop, amber waves of grain on his property. And the neighboring farmer, his field didn't produce as well. The neighboring farmer is not supposed to look with intent at the field of the successful farmer for fear of creating an ayin hara, because they'll be jealous. And we're human, we have to know that. Everybody is susceptible to jealousy. And he wants to have a successful farm. So he should not look with intensity at the neighboring farm because of the fear that he will create an ayin hara. That's the concept of ayin hara. So what Bilaam wanted to do when he looked at the tents of the Jewish people is he wanted to arouse within himself the natural jealousy he had of the Jews. That the Jews, look, the Jews are the special nation of Hashem. The Jews act with sneers. They don't have the doors facing each other. The Jews have a sense of privacy. They don't try to pry into everybody else's business. That a Jew says, you know, this is my life. This is my neighbor's life. I don't need to know what's going on with them. They don't need to know what's going on with me. That is a great way of diminishing jealousy amongst people. When everybody has to know everything about everybody else, that creates jealousy. I've not spoken about it so extensively in this group in the past. In other groups that are more prone to this, I've spoken about it much more. But the whole concept of social media, one of the most terrible parts of it is this. Because when everybody has to know about everybody else, the level of jealousy is intense. It's intense. Because people only post things that look really good. Nobody posts how bad a day was. Everybody posts how wonderful it is. Everybody looks great. And everybody becomes jealous of everybody else. It's a really terrible thing that goes on. And we Jews, we don't believe in that. We don't look into other people's tents. I don't have to know what's going on in your life. You don't have to know what's going on in my life. Everybody has their own privacy. Bilaam was interested in causing an ayin hara for the Jewish people by being jealous. He was a naturally jealous person. He never worked on that. And he wanted to be machnes ayin hara to bring that evil eye on the Jewish people. Instead, Hashem flipped it and made him comment about how beautiful the Jewish practice is that their tents don't face each other. And we'll talk about that more when we get to the pasuk of Matovu. So Bilaam is a jealous person, as we just mentioned. He's an arrogant person, and he's a desirous person. Those are the negative traits of Bilaam. Kinat, taiva, kavo, jealousy, desire, and honor. Pride. Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, on the next page. Vayicharaf Elokim ki holechu el Hashem, became angry that Bilaam was going. Vayisyatsev malach Hashem baderech lesatan lo. So he stood an angel of Hashem on the road to, now, what, how do they translate lesatan? Impede him. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. And he was riding his donkey, Ushnene Arav Imo, and he had two of his lads with him. So, Chazal tell us, notice that the name of Hashem, the use of the term Elokim and Hashem, that they change in the middle of the pasuk. It starts off, Vayicharaf Elokim, ki holecho, Hashem became angry. Elokim is the name of Hashem that usually implies judgment. Vayisyatsev malach Hashem baderech lesatan lo. So he stood an angel. Now it uses the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which generally implies mercy, to impede him. Rashi says this was an angel of mercy. The Hashem was actually helping Bilaam out. He was sending an angel to prevent Bilaam from certain destruction. As if Bilaam was going to continue, as we know, Bilaam was going to destroy himself. Hashem, even with all that Bilaam is doing, Hashem has not yet written him off. And he's sending an angel of mercy to try to stop him. Sometimes, we know this happens, probably more often than we realize, probably almost for sure more often than we realize, but sometimes we see it, that we think something is an imposition, something is impeding us, something gets in our way, and we become frustrated, and we become angry, and we could become annoyed, and only after the fact we realize, oh, you know, okay, it was a good thing. It was a good thing I didn't go there, I didn't do that, I didn't, you know, it's a good thing Hashem got in my way. Right? But at the moment, we don't like it. So Hashem is sending this to Bilaam. The word satan, which is translated here as to impede, is the word, we know that the Yetzer Hara is also referred to as the Satan. As a Satan means to impede, as it's translated over here. Because the job of the Yetzer Hara is to get in our way of doing the right thing. That's the job of the Yetzer Hara. The job of the Yetzer Hara is to make it difficult for us so that it is a struggle, so that we can earn the world to come. That's the job of the Yetzer Hara. If there was no Yetzer Hara, then serving Hashem would be a no-brainer. And then it's very difficult to get it rewarded for something when it doesn't take any effort. So the word satan, which just means to impede, that for all of the, whatever the world at large thinks that word means, it just means, that's a literal translation, to impede or to get in the way. That's what the word means.
I find it interesting that here it says also the Shnei
Na'arav, mm-hmm.
the one with two lads, which is the same as Avram.
Excellent. Very good. Right.
And we don't know who these lads are.
We don't know who these are. With Avram, it was Yishmael and Eliezer. Oh. And here, we don't know who the two are. Oh. But it's true. He does have two lads with him. The Gemara says that Adam Chashev, an important person, when they travel, should always have two attendants with him. Because when traveling, so the assumption is, you know, they did not have rest stops as they traveled. That means if someone needed to relieve themselves, they would have to go off the road into the side of the road wherever they could find a private place. So that means that every so often, the important person would be by themselves if he only had one attendant. They should, therefore, should always have two. If they're not traveling, they're at home or they're in the city, then this whole thing can be worked out much better. But when traveling, it's more difficult to work that out, so therefore they should always have two with them.
Well, first it's interesting because it relates to Avram, but the other thing that's interesting is he was talking about all these delegations in percent that were higher and higher, and yet he ends up with just two lads.
So,
not with a huge delegation of four.
Right. So they are with him. We'll see. They're going to come up later. They are here with him. But they weren't his people. Those were the people from Balak. He had brought with him his own two. So there were two lads of his along. He essentially had his donkey and he had two lads. That's what he brought along. Right. That's right. Right. Okay. So, now we have, the well-known, appearance of this angel that's going to get in his way three times. And Bilam's response to it. And we're not going to have time tonight to really develop this. There's a lot to speak about this thing. But let's read through, at least to get the psukim of what happens with the angel. Pasukav Gimel, verse 23. Vatera ha'asonas malach Hashem nitzav baderech. The donkey saw the angel of Hashem standing on the road. V'charbo shlufa biyado, and his sword was drawn. And it was in his hand. So the donkey went off the road. Went into the field. So Bilam struck the donkey to get it to go back to the road. Bilam could not see the angel, neither could anybody, any of the human beings. Only the donkey was able to see the angel. So that was the first encounter. Then the angel of Hashem stood in the path of the vineyards. Is that how they translate it? Okay. Gader mizeh v'gader mizeh. There was a wall on this side and a wall on that side. Rashi tells us a wall means a stone wall. A gader means a wall made out of stone. V'tera ha'ason es malach Hashem. So again, the donkey saw the angel of Hashem. Vatilachetz el hakir, so the donkey pushed up against the wall. Vatilchatz es regel Bilam el hakir, and he crushed the leg of Bilam against the wall. Vayosef lahakosa, so Bilam continued to strike the donkey. I think that people typically understand that this was, you know, his leg was pushed up against the wall. It was uncomfortable, maybe a little bit painful. He got scraped up, but we will see this was actually much worse. This was a real trauma. And he actually smashed Bilam's leg against the wall. Vayosef malach Hashem avor, so the angel of Hashem continued to pass ahead of them. Vayamod b'makom tzar, he stood in a narrow place. Asher ein derech lintos, I mean, it's small, there was no way to turn right or left. There was no place to go. Vatera ha'asonas malach Hashem, So the donkey saw the angel of Hashem, Vatir Bats Tachas Bilam. So the donkey crouched down under Bilam, Vayicharach Bilam, and Bilam got angry, Vayach Esason Bamakel, and he struck the donkey with a stick. And then we have the famous the mouth of the donkey. So we'll stop here right now for reading these psukim. Let's just make a few observations, and we'll have to pick up the storyline next time. So first of all, the fact that only the donkey could see the angel, no human being could see the angel. Later, the angel will be revealed to Bilam. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us there's a lot going on that we can't see. There's a plane of existence out there human beings can't see, but animals can. And the Gemara tells us that the reason why this is so is that people who have intellect, if we would be able to see all that stuff, we would be terribly frightened. But animals that don't have intellect, that only have instinct, so then when they see these things, it doesn't throw them off. Okay, they're just out there. Whatever they're seeing, they're seeing. So therefore, the Gemara says that animals can see more of this stuff than we can. I don't know exactly what this stuff is. It's something more metaphysical. It's hard to know exactly what these things are. But it is known that animals do react sometimes to things. They're able to intuit things that we're not able to intuit. And perhaps it has to do a little bit with this idea. But that's over here. It seems that the donkey seeing the angel was not unusual, and the fact that the people could not see the angel was not unusual. Later, that the angel reveals himself to Bilam, that's unusual. But this doesn't seem to be unusual. Of course, the fact that he had a sword and the fact that the donkey got scared and all that would be the unusual thing. Yeah.
And they can't see it. So right. If you stay with the donkey, then you can't see it.
Right.
And in that case, he's kind of saying the donkey and them can't see
good.
What Hashem is showing him. So that's
good.
I'm having trouble.
Very good. So that's very good. Good example. Over there, he saw a cloud that represented the Shekhinah. That wasn't an angel, and it wasn't these shadim, these demons, whatever these metaphysical things are that we're talking about over here. That was something lofty, which Avram was able to see, and Yitzchak was able to see because of the level they were on, and they could, right? That's a good point. That's in contrast to over here, right? The angel shows up three times. Each time, the path to get around the angel becomes narrower, which means that the options for the donkey become fewer. First, the donkey's able to go around off the road, then stay on the road and smash Bilam into the wall, and then finally can't go anywhere at all. So the just as a lesson for how Hashem sometimes impedes us when it's for our benefit, even though we may not see it that way when it's happening, but that it sometimes is done in this way, that it gets progressively more of an impediment. And the message is supposed to be, whoa, maybe think about this. But we go headlong into it, which is what Bilam was doing over here as well. So that's an interesting thing just to think about, that sometimes that's the way it works, that Hashem will create the impediment, but first it'll be a gentle nudge, and then it becomes more and more difficult in order to really give us the message.
Just the same angel?
It seems like it's the same one. That's what it seems. From the way that the psukim say it seems it's the same one. It just keeps on jumping ahead. That's what it seems.
Wasn't there a
mitzvah that it was a three patriarch? So then it represents Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right. It's a representation.
And there are angels for the one, so then it would be three different ones.
Well, it seems it's the same one, but the fact that he showed up in three places represents the three of us. Whatever it is.
See something. It's not holiness. It may be they don't have such a
I guess, you know, it seems like the way the Gemara says it is they don't have das. So what they see doesn't translate into fear. In this case, it did translate into fear, but typically it doesn't. That's what it seems.
And one, afraid of the angel or afraid of the sword that the angel
Yeah, it might have been the sword. Could very well have been the sword. I'll just leave you one last observation, which we will tackle, please God, next time, which is that when the angel appears in the three different times, so the first time, it just says he was on the road. And the third time, it just says he was in a narrow place. No details are given about the road, no details are given about the place. But the second time, it says a path of the vineyards, of stone wall on this side and a stone wall on that side. There's a lot of detail there in that second encounter. And as I said, Bilaam is going to get very, very, he's going to get injured pretty badly over here with this, with his leg. So we're hopefully going to discuss exactly what is this place. This second encounter seems to be more specific about where it is. We're actually going to pinpoint exactly where this is happening and why it results in Bilaam's leg being so injured.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.